Then, oh, is it on? It's on. Maybe you just need to turn it up a bit. Is it? Might we need to go up a little bit. Can you hear me, John? Good. Okay. Shush, Jim. So we're gonna just work our way through this morning one of the Psalms, which is just going to be Psalm 61. And so we're going to just read Psalm 61 together before we do anything else. And I love the Psalms because the Psalms tell us, you know, the thing about Psalms is that they're about the real human experience. You know, sometimes we can say, oh, being a Christian, you have to pretend. But David didn't pretend. There were times when David was full of joy. There were times when David was very weary. There were times when David was afraid. There were times when David was, you know, frustrated or angry. And you see that in the Psalms. And so this morning, we're just going to talk our way through Psalm 61, because I think it's just, I believe there's something the Lord wants to speak to us through it. And so Psalm 61 is only 8 verses, and it says this: "Hear my cry, O God. Listen to my prayer. From the ends of the earth, I call to you. When my heart is faint, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the enemy. Let me dwell in your tent forever. Let me take refuge under the shelter of your wings. Selah. For you, O God, have heard my vows. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. Prolong the life of the king. May his years endure to all generations. May he be enthroned forever before God. Appoint steadfast love and faithfulness to watch over him. So will I ever sing praises to your name as I perform my vows day after day." And so the thing about Psalms is that they're real moments in David's life. So they're kind of David speaking about what's happening in his life at this moment. Now, we don't know. Some of the Psalms, you know, if you look in your Bible, it'll explain to you a Psalm of David when he was doing something, and explains to you. This one doesn't give us any information about what David was doing particularly. But we know he's the king, because it says, prolong the life of the king. So it was obviously after the point where he'd become king. And we think that this is probably the time when his son Absalom had rebelled, and he had had to run away and leave his throne, and he'd kind of had to go off again out into the wilderness again, and he was in a real kind of mess again, basically. He'd got himself back into another mess. And so this prayer of kind of coming to God and asking for help is in a position when he is just kind of on the limit. He's reached the end of the road. And so this morning, that's what we're going to do. We're going to look through this and just explore this almost verse by verse, if you will. And so the first verse says, "Hear my cry, O God. Listen to my prayer. From the end of the earth, I call to you." And I just want to say that when you're under pressure, when things are difficult, when you're struggling with life, what's your response? I know what my response ought to be. You know, I know what I ought to do when things are difficult and things are hard. I ought to go to prayer. I ought to call out to the Lord. But so often we don't do that, do we? We kind of try and fix the problem ourselves, or we try and kind of ring up a friend and talk to our friends about our problems, or we try and sort of think about, you know, how we're going to get ourselves out of this mess. But David says, "Hear my cry, O God. Listen to my prayer." And I think there's something about this. You know that moment when you're really under pressure, you are able to cry to God. You can cry out to God. Have you ever shouted at God? I've shouted at God on quite a regular basis, right? That you kind of think, God, I can come and I can just cry out to you. I can say, God, I am just struggling right now, and I can call to you. And so David says 3 times, "Hear my cry, listen to my prayer, I will call to you." And God is going to answer us when we come like that. When we come with that kind of attitude, when we're under pressure and we say, God, I'm struggling, I call out to you, as we're going to see, God meets our need. A few weeks ago, we baptized Jay. Where's Jay? He's at the back, right? And Jay's got this expression. Is it carpet kissing or carpet time?
Daily.
Yeah. And it's healthy for you. Carpet kissing, right? And Jay's story was, right, that basically you reached the end of the road, didn't know where to turn, what to do, and in that moment, He went to do some carpet kissing, right? And got down on his face before God and said, God, I need help. Hear my cry, O God. Listen to my prayer. Right? Please, God, I need you to come. And I want to say to you this morning that wherever you are, whatever you're going through, God is never too far away. And we can always come and we can always say, God, I need you to hear my prayer. And I want to just say to you, in your prayer life, there's a difference between just praying and knowing that you've been heard. Right? It's interesting that David says, hear me, listen to me. As though implying sometimes God doesn't always hear or doesn't always listen. And of course God always listens and of course God always hears. But there's something about knowing. Do you know what I mean? If you've been a Christian for a long time, you'll experience this at some point. I like to pray. And when I pray, there's times when I pray and I think, yeah, Lord, I've prayed. And there's other times I pray and I think, I know the Lord has heard me. I know the Lord has heard me. And there's a kind of prayer that God wants to take us into where we're saying, God, I am crying out to you. I'm calling on your name. And it's an interaction. It's not just me kind of speaking up to nothing. It's hearing God speak back to me. And that's what David's after. He's saying, hear me. Listen to me. Come on, Lord. I know that you are there. And as we get to the end of the psalm, we appreciate that God has heard him because his response changes. And I remember an example a few years ago when I started to get really anxious about my children, about their health. Don't ask why, right? I don't know why. But I started to worry. You know when kids get ill? Kids are always ill, right? They're always ill with something, right? And I remember, I think there was quite a few other of my friends' kids have got ill. And you know, Travis, you read those like horror stories, don't you, on like Facebook or something, or you hear stories. And part of the problem with being in a more connected world now is that, of course, we hear things that we probably wouldn't have heard before, and you hear these kind of terrible stories. And I remember just getting to a point where I just started to get really fretful. My kids would get headache, and I'd be really worried, like, is it something more serious? Or, you know, there's this wrong with them, maybe there's something wrong with them. And then I'd look at Helen and I'd get more anxious. And you know, is it, like Jim says, right, that anxiety is inevitable, right? Being a prisoner to anxiety is optional. And I realised that what had happened, that I'd become a prisoner to anxiety in regards to my children. I remember we went on holiday. It was one of the October holidays. We went away with Pat and Jim. And I remember just being really heavy all week and just constantly worrying. I was worrying about my kids. I was worrying about, and I got to the end of that holiday and I didn't actually feel that rested at the end of it. And I just thought, I can't keep doing this. And do you know what I had to do? Pretty obvious, isn't it? I had to get down. I really prayed. I said, God, you've got to come and deal with me on this. I can't live under anxiety any longer. And I began to pray, and I really kind of came. And as I prayed, and it took kind of, I remember one specific time, but over the course of a few weeks of just praying and really opening up to my heart, I knew God had heard me. Because do you know how I knew that God had heard me? Is that peace came into my heart. See, when God hears you, when you know you've been heard by God, peace comes to you. You think, do you know what? Yeah, God's got this. God's heard it. God's listened to me. I've understood it. God's really understood me. And although it may not change the circumstance, I know that God has met with me. And so I want to encourage you, where if you are in this morning in a position where you need God to speak to you, don't stop praying until you know God has heard you. Until you know, yeah, God, I've heard you. I've heard you speak. So then David goes on, he says, from the end of the earth I call to you. Now, David obviously was living in the kind of the times, what was it, a couple of thousand years ago. David's knowledge of geography would have been pretty limited, right? He didn't really know how far the earth was. And so he's not talking about geography here, David. He's talking about a really long way away. And what he's really saying, I think this is more about, from the ends of the earth I call to you. Do you ever feel really far away from God? He's kind of sort of saying, God, I'm a really long way away from you. I feel very distant from you. But even though I feel distant, I can call to you. And I want to say to you this morning, that maybe there's people here this morning, and I think there probably are, that just feel a long way away from God. I know that I've felt like that many times. You think, God, I just feel so far away from you. I know that you're there. I know you're there all the time. But somehow in my heart, I feel distant from you. And I want to encourage you this morning that David says, from the end of the earth I called you. Even though I feel really far away, I know you hear me. I know you hear me. And I love that about the Lord, don't you? That even though we feel far away from God at times,
we can still call to him. Because it says, from the end of the earth I call to you, when my heart is faint. And my heart was faint. David was under such pressure, under real stress, that he says, my heart feels faint. If you, that's the ESV or the NIV version. If anyone got a New King James version, and I'm reading that, it says over, Jim, you're on fire today, aren't you? Right? It says, my heart feels overwhelmed. You ever felt like that? Your heart feels overwhelmed. In, I think John Bunyan describes it in Pilgrim's Progress as his mind was exceedingly tumbled up and down. Do you ever feel like that? David had obviously been under such pressure, right? He felt far away from God. He's crying out to God. His mind, his heart was all over the place. He felt overwhelmed. He felt, I can't cope anymore. I can't deal with the pressure. I can't deal with the stress. Maybe he's just having been kind of kicked out of his kingdom. He's kind of running away in the middle of the desert. People are trying to kill him. He's just kind of in that moment where he's completely overwhelmed. And I love the fact that he comes and he says, I know my heart is overwhelmed. It's okay if you feel like your heart is overwhelmed. Now today, you may be feeling like your heart is really overwhelmed. Or you may be feeling, you know what, I'm feeling pretty good right now. But I want to, sometimes when we teach from the Bible, we're laying foundations for those moments when it does happen. And this is a psalm that if you get to a point, maybe in a week's time, a month's time, a year's time, 2 years' time, whatever, you can come back to this psalm and say, God, I know that when my heart is overwhelmed, when I know I feel this, I know I can call out to you. Because there are times in our lives, like when David laments here, our hearts do go faint. And we want to, how do you respond when your heart gets overwhelmed? How do you respond? Shall I tell you what I do? And it's not something I should be proud of. I will kind of gravitate to just putting on a TV show and trying to just switch off my brain. And it's okay as a short-term strategy. There's nothing wrong with kind of an evening putting on a TV show. That's not my point. But when your heart feels overwhelmed, where do you go? Where do you go? David's heart was overwhelmed and he went to God. He said, God, I'm going to cry out to you. I'm going to call out to you. Listen to my prayer. I need you to meet with me. And so many Christians don't do this. They don't go to the Lord. They find other ways to try and, you know, calm themselves or to try and find a release from their pressure or to kind of sort out their anxiety. And I'm telling you, the way that you have been made is to come to God and to come and pray to him and to find him in that fresh way. And so whether you're feeling overwhelmed today or whether you'll feel overwhelmed in the future, this is the answer. We see it in verse 2. And it's one of the most famous verses in the Bible, this. I love it. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Lead me to the rock. Well, the first thing I want to pick out about this is the fact that David says, lead me. Take me there. You know, so often we try and figure it all out ourselves, don't we? We try and sort it out in our own heads. Oh, this is what we ought to do. This is how I've got to sort of figure it out. And I'm more and more aware of the simplicity of the Christian life. You can simply say to God, Lord, take me there. I can't get there myself. How many times when your heart feels overwhelmed are you really able to kind of take a step back and say, this is exactly what I need to do? I can't do that. I find that really difficult. What I need to do is say, Lord, just lead me there. Lead me there. And I want to encourage you this morning that I think so often we don't feel like God can just take us there. We feel like we need to work our way back into it. We feel like we need to try and prove to God that we've kind of got it together again. And we sort of say, do you know what? Like, we almost sometimes behave like employees rather than sons. Like when my kids are struggling or they're difficult, my attitude towards them is to come and give them a big hug. Amen. And to lift them up and say, do you know what? I'm with you. I'm gonna help you work through this. They don't have to try and prove to me they've been good enough. If maybe you drift from God and you think, oh, you know, I'm finding things really difficult and I haven't been praying very much and I haven't actually, no, to be honest, I've made some sinful errors and I know that I'm feeling like from the ends of the earth, I'm really distant away from God. Right, what I need to do is I need to find my way back to God. I need to figure this out for myself. I need to just make it happen. But what does David say? What does David say? Lead me. Take me there. Help me, God. And I want to say to you this morning, when you are under pressure, when your heart is overwhelmed, you only need to say to God, God, lead me there. Take me there. And this is it. We don't have to overstress it. We can rest on the grace of God to take us where he wants us to be. But I want to just kind of also just kind of, I want to use this as an opportunity to talk about cycling. We went cycling a few weeks ago, right? So it's a good opportunity to talk about cycling. And we went cycling up a couple of mountains in the Alps. It was very exciting. It's very high, yeah? Okay. And the thing is that we cycled up. I had to do some driving, but the one that I cycled up was about 13 kilometres kind of going uphill around these sort of switchback bends. And I cheated. On the Friday night, I cheated, right? And I had an e-bike, okay, right, because I didn't think I would be fit enough to do it on an actual bike, okay, so I just was a total cheater. And Mark was super keen to go and do it really fast. And so what I did was I thought to myself, no, I'm going to try and ride with Mark. And if you ride in front of someone, it's easier for the person behind because they get a little bit of a kind of a, you know, wind relief. But interesting, and we did, didn't we? We rode up, and I rode in front of Mark, and it was quite good fun, because, to be honest, this e-bike was so easy, it was like riding a little motorbike, to be honest. And there's Mark suffering away, and I'm going, oh, this is quite easy, isn't it? And he's like, no, it's not. But Mark made a comment to me afterwards, right? And it was a throwaway comment, and it stuck with me. It said it was so much easier just to follow someone else's wheel, because you haven't got to think about what's coming next. All you're doing is concentrating on what's in front of you. And, you know, when we were cycling up that hill, one thing you realise is that if you can follow somebody else, you don't have to worry about where you're going, you don't have to worry about what corner's coming next, you don't have to worry about how far you're away from the top. All you need to do is just concentrate on just sticking behind the wheel. And that's what it means. Saying, Lord, lead me, doesn't mean I'm going to sit down in my chair and do nothing. It does mean that you've still got to actually make an effort. You can't just say, oh, Lord, lead me, I'm just going to sit here and do nothing, can you come and do it all for me? What it does mean is, Lord, I'm going to continue to seek after you, but I'm going to try and figure out how I'm going to get there. All I need to do is worry about just doing the next thing in front of me. Do the next thing in front of me. Lord, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And so he comes onto this phrase, and he says, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Now, we deliberately this morning, we sang a few songs about the rock because I knew I was going to preach on this subject. And I suppose I've come to the conclusion more and more that my life needs to be built on that solid rock. And so often our lives are not. And even though I'm a pastor and I'm, you know, a mature Christian, there are times when I realise I'm building on an unstable foundation. I'm not really building on God. And what God is, what David's saying is, Lord, take me to that place that is solid and firm. When you come and build your life on God, you're building on something solid and firm. But it's this idea that the rock is higher. You know, if he would, David had fled out into the wilderness, and when, again, back to cycling. When you stand at the bottom of this mountain, Joel, you cycled this mountain, you look, and I wanted to get some pictures of it. It's quite intimidating, isn't it? Right, you sit at the bottom of this and it's not like a little hill. It's not like kind of standing at the bottom of what's the road that we come up? I can't remember what it's called now. Grovelands, the bottom of Grovelands, and it's like a hill, right? Basically, the mountain is essentially like 13 kilometres of going up Lullingston, essentially, isn't it? And there's points, I don't know if anyone else who cycled, you got about halfway up and you look, and it looks what can only seem like essentially a vertical face in front of you. Did anyone else have that experience?
Yeah?
No, thanks, Dion. Tanner was just sitting there having a coffee and taking some photographs, so it was all right. But you see this thing, when you go and cycle up a mountain, you realise that David, because this is where David would have been in the mountains, he would have been in kind of, and when you go up high, you sort of get a different view of everything, don't you? And if you're trying to be safe from attackers and defenders, the safest place to be is up high. And so he says, lead me to the rock that is higher than I am. Because I know up there is a place of safety. Up there is a place of security. Up there is a place that I can be safe. And I want to say to you this morning that you may think to yourself, I am a sinner. I have made a massive mistake. I have made huge mistakes. I've made a complete mess of something. Maybe it's just been this week, but maybe it's just your life. I want to say to you that however messy your life is, however difficult things have been, there's a rock that's higher than you are. However big you think your sin is, God's higher. Isn't that wonderful? Lead me to a place where you whatever your mess is higher. God is bigger than that. You might say, oh, I'm helpless. I can't cope. I can't deal with things. Right? You don't understand how difficult my life has been or the obstacles I've faced. Jesus says, I'm higher than that. I want to take you to a place that's above that and beyond that. You say, I'm so weak. I've got no strength left to fight. I can't, life just happens to me. I'm so tired and weary. And to be honest, over the last couple of months, this has been kind of, some of this is a reflection of my own walk with the Lord. I realize I've been tired and weary, and then the Lord was saying to me again, come up higher, Tim. I'm bigger than your tiredness. I'm bigger than your weariness. What about this? Maybe your faith is strong. You say, oh yeah, I'm feeling good. I'm really believing the Lord. I'm really sort of moving in things of power. I'm starting to really see God in a new way. I want to tell you that God wants to lead you even higher. However faith, you think, oh, I'm really moving in great things now. There's more for you. What about this? You think, oh, I'm enjoying the Lord. I'm really loving His presence. I'm loving worship. I'm really enjoying being in the presence of God. And God says to you this morning, I'm higher than even that. And this is the word of the Lord to us this morning. God wants to take you higher. God wants to lead you to a place that's higher than you are. Whether you are in a mess, whether you're doing quite well, whether you're doing amazing, whatever it is, the resources of God are higher. And there's a simple prayer here, isn't it? Lead me, Lord, to a higher place in you. Lead me to a rock that's higher than I am. That is simply what God says to us this morning. Philippians chapter 3 verses 13 to 14 says, brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on. I press on towards the goal of the upward call of Jesus Christ. And so I want to say to you this morning, really that's my message this morning. That's my message. Simple, not complicated. But I just believe that God is speaking to us this morning. I know God has been speaking to me. Whatever your situation, whatever your condition, you can call out to the Lord. And God says, lead, and say to the Lord, lead me to a higher place. Lead me to a higher place. And if we were to read down for the rest of the psalm, we could say, let me dwell in your tent forever. Let me take refuge under the shelter of your wings. Lord, bring me into the place of your presence. And right at the very last, it says, so I will ever sing praises to your name as I perform my vows day after day. He's gone from verse 1, Lord, help, 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 to verse 8, I will sing praise. God has answered my prayer. God has heard me. I've gone to a rock that's higher than I am. I can praise God now. And that's the Christian journey. And that's the Christian experience. As I said, this morning isn't complicated. I'm sorry if you were expecting something deeper. That's all I had. But I believe that's the word of the Lord to us this morning. God wants to take you to a higher place in Him, to a place of stability and security and strength in Him. Whatever you have got, whatever you're dealing with, God is higher. Amen? Take me to a rock that's higher than I am, to a place that's higher than me. You'd like to share a testimony? You want to share? Go on, Margaret. Yeah, let's go for it. We've got a microphone. They're going to be microphones. You won't hear Margaret otherwise.